If you have your Bibles, we're continuing our study in James. Tonight we're going to look at James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. In this passage, James is talking about two kinds of wisdom that he mentions here. Earthly wisdom and the wisdom from above, or if you want to call it worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom in these verses. And we'll start reading in verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's a wonderful passage. I think you and I can learn from it, and hopefully I believe that we can make some applications to our life from these passages tonight. First of all, in verse 13, James uses the word endued. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge? That word endued means to have skill and understanding in something, to know something well. And it's good to know that if we're endued with wisdom, so I'm talking about spiritual wisdom, not the wisdom of the world, God's wisdom. If we are endued with God's wisdom, that means we have skill and understanding in that wisdom, and we know it well. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing for us. You know, my niece Carrie, she had some wisdom teeth pulled, and I told her tonight she has less wisdom than she used to, you know, those three wisdom teeth gone. And Carrie fortunately didn't hit me or slap me or anything like that, so that's a good thing. I'm kidding. But I had to mention that because I've been thinking about that all day today. It had to come out, you know. But we see in verse 1 that James also says that let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. In this verse, James wants Christians who profess to be wise to show that wisdom in their everyday lives. And, you know, I've met some very wise Christians. There's some very wise Christians here tonight that I know. Not that I know personally. And, it's interesting that one of the, things or one of the marks of wisdom is humility. I don't know if you ever noticed that. That if a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has wisdom, many times they'll have humility, humbleness of heart. What they do is, it's interesting that the marks of a humble person is they put self aside and give to others, and they expect no recognition for that. That's a wonderful thing, a wonderful trait to have and to develop in our Christian lives, is to have that kind of wisdom. And we could ask ourselves, well, who is the wisest and the most humble person that ever walked this earth? Well, we'd have to say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, our Savior. No one showed more wisdom and more humility more clearly and wonderfully than did our Savior. If people looked at him, if they heard his words, if they talked to him, if they had a relationship with him, they knew that this was the wisdom of God incarnate that they were speaking to. Amazing, isn't it? And it amazes me sometimes, this is a little bit of a side here, it amazes me that people back then saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and they talked to him. You know, his 12 disciples, but more than just his 12 disciples, talked to the Lord. They knew him. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were good friends of the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it be great to go back in time and say, well, you know, I was a friend of the Lord Jesus. And it's also interesting to note that James here in verse 13 is talking about that wonderful godly wisdom that we all as believers need to possess, that we need to possess that. And James is going to contrast God's wisdom in a few minutes with a different kind of wisdom, an evil type of wisdom. And that brings us to verse 14. He says, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." Now, this type of wisdom is personified by certain things. The first thing that James says is this wisdom that he's talking about that's evil. The first trait mentioned is bitter envying. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Bitter envying is simply just jealousy. That's all it is. And you've been jealous, haven't you? I've been jealous. You know, people say, "Earl, you've really been jealous?" Of course. You know, we're all jealous at one point in our lives. And I think that if we understand what this phrase bitter envying means, it's more than just plain jealousy in our hearts. James does say that it is bitter envying in our hearts. But bitter envying can lead to sinful, evil actions, he said. You know, we may know someone who's more wiser and more gifted than we are. And sometimes we don't like it when they get more attention than we do. Sometimes we know people who are more effective than we are. They get more pats on the back than we do. And sometimes that irks us, doesn't it? And I've been there. I've been irked by other people. By other people getting attention that I didn't get. You know, that's jealousy, folks. Clear and simple. And bitter envying are jealousy. And that's what James is talking about here. Soon after, if you let this bitter envying rest in your heart, your personality and your life is going to take up an aura about it. And people will notice something. There's something wrong in Earl's life. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something there in his heart, and it's coming out, you see. It's coming outside. People can see it. And brother, sister in Christ, if we've got bitter envy, that is jealousy in our hearts, we need to deal with that. We need to bring it to the throne of grace, confess it for what it is, sin, and be done with it. You know, that's what God wants. But James also mentions in verse 14, strife, the word strife. We have bitter envying and strife in our hearts. The word strife means self-seeking or selfish ambition. Self-seeking or selfish ambition. You know, strife is not spiritual. It's carnal. It's carnal. You recall in Acts 6, the early church in Jerusalem was undergoing strife at that time. You recall that the Hellenistic Jews were being forgotten in the daily distribution of food, and they were complaining about that. And the apostles knew that they had a problem on their hands. If they didn't deal with it, this could break out into something that's just that would hurt the body of Christ in Jerusalem. So what the apostles did, they appointed some men, 6 or 7 men, to oversee this problem, to take note of the people who needed the distribution of food. And these men who were filled with the Spirit of God, who were men who were gentle, who had wisdom, is one of the qualifications. They helped fix the problem. And the church in Jerusalem went on. But you see where strife can lead. You know, strife, selfish ambition and self-seeking. In other words, we're seeking something for ourselves. For our benefit, not for others' benefit. It's a rather selfish type of attitude, I would think. And you know, we all have to deal with that in our lives. And strife and bitter envying is something that personifies the wisdom of the world. It's what James is talking about in verse 14. It also mentions in verse 14 that phrase, glory not, means don't have a boastful spirit. People with boastful spirits can cause divisions regardless of where you're at, whether you're in church or in school or in business. And you know, I've worked with people who have boastful spirits. They're always telling other people about their accomplishments, and they tell how great they are, and somehow you don't measure up to their incredible accomplishments. You're just this little tiny little person off here on the side. And we've met people like that. I think that comes from a sinful attitude of pride in the human heart. And that's something we as believers need to guard against, pride. You know, we all have to deal with it. I have to deal with that. You have to deal with it. So James is talking to us about the things we shouldn't do as far as wisdom is concerned, evil wisdom. Another phrase that James uses in verse 14 is lie not against the truth. Lie not against the truth. When people use lies or half-truths or trickery or deceit, you know, I've heard or read about some Christians in different Christian groups and organizations who would exaggerate the truth, who wouldn't tell all the truth, who would leave something out, omit something, who would cut corners in their work, in their ministry for God. And you would ask them about it and say, well, you know, we're all in this for the sake of the gospel. You know, we want people to get saved, come to Christ, don't we? But do the ends justify the means, brother, sister in Christ? You know, when we lie not against the truth, that means we're using trickery or deception or lying to accomplish our goals. That is the wrong kind of wisdom. And the world is filled with those people, folks, who would use deception and lies and trickery to accomplish their goals. They're out there. And I pray to God that they're not in the church. But unfortunately, we have to deal with people like that, who lie not, who lie against the truth. And this is how cults operate to deceive people. You take all these unsaved people, the cult's knocking on the door, and they got the open Bible here, and here's what the Bible says. You got to join our group and be part of our organization, and you've got to do this work, you got to do that work, you got to go here, you got to go there, you got to do this. And if you do that, you'll make it to heaven. God will accept you. Isn't that horrible? And those people are being deceived by the cults in this area. So that's the wisdom that James is talking about in verse 14 is the wisdom that descendeth not from above in verse 15, but it's earthly and sensual and devilish. James uses three words in verse 15 to describe the wisdom he's talking about: earthly, sensual, and devilish. First, the earthly wisdom is simply the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world. And you remember 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, the Apostle John wrote about love in his epistle. And one of the things we're not supposed to love, we're supposed to love other people, we're supposed to love God, but we're not supposed to love the world and the things in the world. And, you know, all human psychology and philosophy and science and religion, all these things are part of the world. Now, you know, there's nothing wrong with studying religion from a Christian point of view. There's nothing wrong with studying science from a Christian point of view. The problem is these areas like psychology, especially psychology and philosophy, have been tainted by the wisdom of the world, by earthly wisdom. And that's why we as believers need to be on guard. We need to recognize that as believers and call it what it is, earthly wisdom. There's a man, I'm sure you've heard of him, who was well known in the fields of psychology, Sigmund Freud. You've probably heard of him. The father of modern psychology. Sigmund Freud was a man who hated Christianity. He called himself a godless Jew. He referred to himself as a hopeless pagan. But people in the world of psychiatry and psychology have been influenced by this godless man and his work and his thinking. And if you go into modern medical schools today and you study psychiatry, you're going to touch this man's his beliefs and his works, Sigmund Freud. And we see that many in the world are attracted to belief a belief system like this. And you know, God forbid that there are people in the body of Christ who use Freud's work as believers in Christ. You know, and this is true. I know that is true because I've read about it and I've heard about it. And maybe you have too. They would use the modern methods of modern psychology, underlined by Freud in their work, and they call it Christian, you know. This is earthly wisdom. This is the type of wisdom you and I should be aware of, because it is dangerous. It is dangerous for us as believers to start believing these things and acting upon them. If we're going to have true godly wisdom, we must realize that wisdom comes from God. It doesn't come from Sigmund Freud. We need to understand that and realize that. But there's another form of wisdom that James uses in verse 15. It's called sensual wisdom. This is the wisdom of the physical appetites, our desires, our cravings. You know, we all have physical appetites, desires, and cravings, and all that kind of stuff. You know, we're living in a flesh and blood body. But sometimes, if we base our life on these things, if we use a particular lifestyle would be considered wicked or evil, and people look at that lifestyle and they say, wow, so-and-so sure is a wise person, isn't he, or isn't she? But yet they're living a wicked, evil lifestyle. This is sensual wisdom. Sensual wisdom. It's interesting to know that there are people in the world that have wisdom, but they have wisdom to do sinful things. I saw a news magazine on TV a few years ago. It's about this guy who was broke into cars and stole vehicles. And he was good at it. He would be in that car and bam, he'd have that car started and ready to go in 30 seconds, less than a minute. It was amazing. And of course he got caught. He was put in jail. He did his time in jail. He came out, and now he's an advisor to police departments. He has his own company, I think, that advises police departments and other groups about keeping your car safe. And they saw him. They filmed this guy breaking into a car. He had that car open. I mean, it was 10 seconds. He was in that car. And not only that, he had that car started up and ready to go. He was sitting in the seat, putting it in gear in less than a minute, and he was gone. This guy had a lot of wisdom. He was a smart guy. He was intelligent. But he had wisdom to do wicked, evil things, you know. There are plenty of people out there with this kind of sensual wisdom. They know how to, they're very intelligent, very bright, and very, as some people might think, very wise. But the only wisdom they have is to do wicked, evil things, you know, you see. So we don't want to have a reputation like that as believers, you know. But the third thing that James mentions in verse 15, the kind of type of wisdom he's talking about, is devilish. That is demonic wisdom. The classic illustration, I think, of demonic wisdom is Eve in the Garden of Eden. You recall that in Genesis 3. Eve saw the fruit on the tree was desired to make one wise. Desired to make one wise. And she took that fruit, and of course Adam did too. Sinned against the Lord God. But you know, Eve was deceived by Satan, directly by Satan in the form of a serpent. And this is an example of demonic wisdom. You know, Satan's wisdom abounds in the world. And I was listening to the radio. I was listening to a message by Chuck Swindoll when I came in tonight. He was talking about, he was going through the book of, Revelation. And he was talking about Satan in the end times and being on the world, influencing the world. And you know, Satan, before he was thrown out of heaven, he was called Lucifer. You know, he was one of the most magnificent, most beautiful angels that God had ever created. You know, we lose sight of that, I think, sometimes. Here's a brilliant, intelligent, incredible being. And the power that God allowed this being, Lucifer, to have is amazing. And yet, when he was cast out of heaven, we turned his back on the Lord. God kicked him out of heaven. He was no longer the beautiful Lucifer. He was the evil, wicked Satan. And he's our enemy, and he's the one we have to deal with. And brother, sister in Christ, Satan is very subtle in his wisdom. He is a very wise being, but it's a devilish, a wicked type of wisdom. We need to be aware of that. You know, we need to be very careful when we get advice or counsel, or we talk to other people and they tell us something that we may think is true. We must evaluate that advice and counsel and what people are telling us in according to the Word of God, in accordance with the Word of God. That's our only safeguard and protection against devilish, demonic wisdom, because Satan is wiser than you and I. You know, in a wicked way, Satan is wiser than you and I. He knows how to use us and manipulate us and deceive us. So we must be careful. We must use the safeguards that God has given us, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, godly Christians, to make sure that we're not engaging in demonic wisdom. People think that demonic wisdom is this big monster who's out to get them and going to swallow them up and claw them and throw them up against a wall, and, you know, this huge monster with saliva coming from his mouth and all that. That's not demonic wisdom. Demonic wisdom is much, much more subtle than that. And that's why we need to be careful. We need to be careful. But going on to verse 16, James also makes the statement in verse 16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Where there is jealousy and self-seeking, these things bring about confusion, they bring about disorder." And those are the results of earthly wisdom, brother, sister in Christ. Confusion, wickedness, disorder. You know, when anytime self is on the throne of our hearts, there will be all sorts of evil prevailing in our lives. And do you realize that? Anytime self is on the throne of our hearts and is controlling our minds, controlling our lives, it's me, it's all about me, it's what I want. It's not about you, it's all about me. It's me, me, me. It's my desires, my will, my life, it's what I want. That self is on the throne of our hearts. And when that happens, we have confusion, we have disorder, we have jealousy, we have self-seeking. And that can destroy a local body of believers. I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it firsthand. When self is on the throne, horrible, bad things happen to a body of believers. I've heard that happen. I've talked to people who are in situations like that. And that's something that we must be on our guard against. And, you know, some Christians or some people who may or may not be Christians may appeal to us. We may think, well, you know, that person is that lady or that man, they're pretty good. They're neat. They're cool. But, you know, these people may be representing something that's totally anti-biblical, that's totally non-scriptural, and they could be very subtle about it. And we think, well, these people are very wise people. They have wisdom, you see. But self is on the throne of their hearts. They're being controlled by their own desires, their own wickedness, their own evil, their own thing, their own life. What is what they want? It's what I want. It's not what you want. It's what I want. So we must be very careful in dealing and saying or evaluating people simply based on how they look or what they say. We must look deeper and look farther than that. But in verse 17, James, got a few more minutes, I guess. Verse 17, James tells us about the wisdom that is from above. This is godly wisdom. This is wisdom from God. And he lists a number of things in verse 17 to describe this type of wisdom. First of all, it's pure. The word pure here means undefiled. Undefiled wisdom. Isn't it great to know somebody or to get wisdom from somebody that is totally and completely pure and undefiled. There's nothing wrong with the type of wisdom that you're getting. We get that from our Savior. We can get that from the Lord. But it's nice to meet Christians every now and then who have pure, undefiled wisdom, and they are communicating that wisdom to us. That's a wonderful thing. I think it's rare, but it still is a wonderful thing. Another attribute of this godly wisdom, the wisdom from above, is peaceable. Peaceable. In other words, we maintain peace without compromising our biblical principles. The Lord Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, didn't he? The people who make peace, the people who have in their hearts and in their minds the ability to talk to you and make peace between warring factions, or to maybe even to give you peace, perhaps, simply by their wisdom. And that's a wonderful thing, to maintain peace among people. But at the same time, we have to recognize that we want to maintain biblical principles also. We don't want to violate the Word of God, but we need to maintain peace. That's wisdom from above. The other thing that James mentions here is gentleness. That is, being forbearing or courteous, not crude. Forbearing and courteous, not crude. I've met some crude people in my life. I used to be a crude. Well, some people may think I still am, but I hope not. But I used to be pretty crude. I mean, you know, in my unsaved state. People say, Earl, you're rude and crude, aren't you? I said, yeah. And I was happy to have that label. But wisdom from above, which is gentle, is always forbearing and courteous to other people. You know, people who have this type of wisdom, who are forbearing and courteous, you love to be around them, don't you? You love to talk to them. Because they're the type of people that you're going to listen to, that you're going to respect for their wisdom. They're not crude. They're courteous. They're forbearing. They don't get in your face and, you know, get the finger in your face like this. You know, those are the people that you really love to be with and talk to and to be around. You can learn from people like that. I have. I've learned from other Christian believers who are gentle, forbearing, courteous. Another thing that James mentions here is easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. That is, willing to yield, conciliatory, kind, not vindictive. Easy to be entreated. Now, we're not talking about making ourselves a doormat, let people walk all over us. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. And that's not what James is talking about here. If we're easy to be entreated, we're willing to yield. We're willing to yield, but we don't yield on our principles. We don't yield on our important beliefs. And we're conciliatory. In other words, we're not trying to pick fights with other people. We're not trying to get in other people's faces and push them off stage. Willing to be easy to be entreated is someone who is kind and who is not vindictive. This is the kind of wisdom that comes from God. And we all know what vindictiveness is. I've been vindictive. You have. I've been a victim of vindictiveness, and so have you, I'm sure. But the type of wisdom here that comes from above, is easy to be entreated, is not vindictive. It's kind. It is conciliatory. It is willing to yield. That's the wisdom from above. We also have, James says, full of mercy and good fruits. Full of mercy and good fruits. You ever, I got a shipment of oranges some years ago. I ordered some oranges from the catalog. And I thought, wow, these oranges are going to be great. And they were in the catalog. They were about these big, huge oranges. I got them there. Tiny little thing. And I said, what is this? But anyway, I thought, well, they're going to be good anyway. So I reached in, I got one of the oranges, and my fingers went right all the way through it, through the skin. The orange is rotten. And I think I got about 15 or 16. About 5 or 6 of them are rotten. So, I was really ticked off about that. But, rotten fruit is really bad. And it doesn't smell good, and it doesn't taste good. And your fingers go right through it. You know, like happened with me. But good fruit is a good thing. And so, James reminds us that part of godly wisdom is mercy. You know something we don't have. If you look out in the world today, do you find very much mercy out there among people? I don't. I read the newspaper, I look at the news, and look around our community here in Durham. I don't see a whole lot of mercy. But you know, if we're going to be wise Christians, if we're going to have wisdom from above, you and I need to have a spirit of mercy. Now, sometimes, some Christians, mercy comes fairly easily with. Other Christians have to work at it to show mercy. In other words, not giving people what they deserve. And, you know, I go back to my experience in Awana when I think about mercy. Think about all these kids, and sometimes I get so angry at them, I don't want to show mercy to them. I want to show something else, like beating them on top of the head or something. But, you know, God, over the years, has taught me to be merciful toward children because they need it. You know, kids need mercy. And they need discipline. Don't get me wrong. You know, you can't let them get away with everything and anything. But God's people need mercy. That's the type of wisdom that we as believers should develop, a spirit of mercy toward other people. And that's what, you know, that's the same spirit, the same heart that our Savior had, that the Lord Jesus Christ had. He had, his heart was filled with mercy and good fruits. And that should be us. Another thing that James mentions as wisdom from above is without partiality. Without partiality. In other words, wisdom doesn't show favoritism, that's impartial in its treatment of others. If you want to make somebody angry, if you want to make somebody jealous, show favoritism. Show partiality to them. You get them all stirred up. You get people all stirred up to do that. But you know, if we are wise Christians, if we are interested in using the wisdom being or having this wisdom from above as a part of our lives, it must be without partiality. We mustn't show favoritism. We must be impartial in our dealings with other people. And folks, that's hard. It's tough. Because, you know, there's a group of people over here. There's all these people over here I like pretty much. Yeah, I like them. There's people in the middle. Yeah, they're okay. Now there's a few people over here. You know, I really don't like these people. Now, I'm not talking about here at Northgate Chapel. Most of y'all are over here in the good slot. But, you know, there's some people we don't really like, care for. Maybe some family members, people we work with, people we play sports or team sports with, or they're people in our community, or some of our neighbors, and, you know, this type of thing. And we don't really like them. But, you know, as far as God is concerned, when we want to show with the wisdom from above, godly wisdom, we must be impartial and not show favoritism, even to the people we don't really like all that much. We must be impartial, fair-minded, and not show favoritism to those people. The last thing that James mentions as an example of godly wisdom is without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. That is being sincere and genuine. Sincere and genuine. Who was more sincere and more genuine than our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Every step he took, every word he spoke, every person's life that he touched was a perfect example of sincerity and genuineness. That's what our Savior possessed. And brothers, sisters in Christ, those are wonderful virtues to inculcate into our life, to make part of our life. The wisdom from above is a wonderful thing. And James, here I think is contrasting and comparing these two things, the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom from above. And I believe that you and I have a choice to make in our lives. We can become truly wise believers by making godly wisdom, the wisdom from above, an integral part of our life. Or we can get away from that and we can come and use worldly wisdom, make worldly wisdom, sensual, devilish wisdom, wisdom a part of our life. If we do that, we'll suffer for it, I believe. If we're willing to obey God and make godly wisdom part of our lives, I believe we'll have God's blessing on our lives. I really believe that. And we'll pick it up next time. I've gone a little bit over, but we'll pick it up next time in chapter 4. And I believe we have some prayer requests from Brother Gene.